Thank you for listening to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Larry Suttle, the preaching minister of over 20 years, weekly instructs and encourages those attending the services at the 10th and Broad Church of Christ in Wichita Falls, Texas. Let's join now for this week's lesson.
Ken kind of threw me for a loop this morning. He changed the order on me. So I had to ask him, am I up? And he said, yes, you're up. And in many ways, it seems like I've done this before. And in other ways, it seems like it's been a year since I've stood before you. But it's good to be here today, and good that you're here also. My, you look awfully good to me, all of you. And love you all, and thank you so much for all that you've done. It was good to hear Gary this morning in the Bible class, Gary Gardner, regarding the City of Angels and that great work that we're going to be involved in. Thank you, Gary, for your coming. And I do come, though, back to some disappointments in that, and a time of change in that the Rogers are leaving us, and of course the Lemons have left us, going to Pecos, and Janet took Tyler to college yesterday, and of course, Sloan is going, and Cody, and probably others of you. I'm not thinking of. So it's a time of change, and we're going to miss all of you who will no longer be a part of our body week to week. But you will always be a part of our family, and we do ask that you come back and visit us as often as you can. I'm going to use as my text this morning, I might say before I go on, I see Tanner back there. And good to have Tanner back from his summer in Boulder. So that's a change for the good, isn't it? So glad to have you, Tanner. I'm going to use as our Bible reading this morning, Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. I have been very nervous about getting back up this morning, though, again, I have done this before, I know, but I am the preacher here, by the way. I heard Ken say that you must be confused wondering who the preacher is, and so you may be disappointed, but I am it, and I expected Ken to have someone say, we want Ken, or we want Mike, but anyway, I am officially or technically the preacher, but I don't feel very much on top of my game this morning. That's assuming I ever had one, but still I knew there had to be a first time to get back up and speak. One reason I was nervous is what do I say after all of this? I feel like that you probably expect some comments about the accident. I don't want to overdo that and don't want to spend the next 6 months wallowing in that. But for those of you who have not been aware of what occurred to Nikki and I, we were on the third day of our vacation. I had just left Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I had wanted to see the Bryant-Denny football stadium and the campus of University of Alabama and all of that kind of business. And we headed out to Birmingham, and we're going up to Chattanooga. And for some reason, unexplainable to me at the time, I was driving 70 miles an hour on Interstate 20, and Nikki was on her iPad, blissfully going about her business, and she felt the car jerk and looked over at me, and I was in a full seizure. Never had a seizure in my life, and at that time didn't know why I was having one then. I will wind up to have another one also in the emergency room later, but bless Nikki's heart, she had to take over. She had to take that car with my stiff leg on the accelerator, probably going much faster than 70, And I'm out of it. I remember nothing about it. All I'm telling you is what I've been told. But she wrestled that thing away from me. We bounded over the edge of the interstate. A driver of an 18-wheeler behind us said that we were airborne when we left the interstate. And Nikki guided that thing down to about, 25, 30 yards to a grove of trees. And we plowed into those trees about two or three car lengths. Of course, all the air things deployed and all of that. And here she was. I was out of it. She was very much aware of what was going on. So she's the heroine in every aspect of this. So I just cannot imagine what that must have been like. And one reason I go into that, not to be overly dramatic about it, but just to encourage you, wives or husbands or whoever the passenger is over there, sometimes you just assume that everything is under control. But what if you had to take over going 70 miles an hour on an interstate highway, trying to keep it out of traffic and that kind of thing? Well, I would encourage you to think about what you would do in that situation. Nikki did an excellent job, and I'm so proud of her partly because of her. There were other aspects as well. I'm convinced God sent his angels there to protect us. But I'm here before you today, and so it's a good thing. I was reading in a bulletin, one of the churches that I used to preach for some many years ago, and they had it in their bulletin that Larry and Nikki Suttle suffered minor injuries in a auto accident in Alabama. And when I read that, I thought, wow, minor injuries? So what do you mean, minor injuries? I thought we spent 3 days in the hospital. Nikki tells me it was five. Much of that I do not remember. Three of those days, or parts of three, were in intensive care. So what do you mean to tell me minor injuries? Well, the truth is, it was minor. It was. They weren't overstretching it because I stand before you today. It could have been so much worse. Again, the trucker who was behind us said he didn't see how in the world we kept from rolling two or three times before we got to that grove of trees. But we didn't. Though we were carried away, for all practical purposes, we walked away from that accident. And here we are a few weeks later, and things are pretty much back to normal. Although, Nikki is very sore. She took the brunt of it. I do not have much pain at this point. I suffered some cracks and some vertebrae in my lower back. Wear a back brace and well for a little while. But it's not a big deal. But Nikki took the brunt of it, and she is a lot sore. And the doctor said it'd be months before she start feeling normal. Anyway, that's our story. I told the elders that I would be back in the pulpit on the 14th of August. I kind of had some misgivings about that as it drew near, but I think we'll do it. I think we'll do it. And again, I knew there had to be a first time. Regarding the seizure, I might say this so you won't sit on the edge of your seat wondering when the next one's going to come. So many of you have been so kind to us and have provided so many needs, food and then the encouragement, cards and visits has just been so meaningful to us. The Paddocks loaned us their vehicle until we replace ours. We totaled it. We left it in Alabama. And by the way, I put in a plug for Tom Richardson and Farmers Insurance. They've done a good job, and I feel like they've treated us well. Now they may drop me tomorrow, but so far it's been good. But anyway, I made an appearance at the elders' meeting Tuesday night, and somebody asked me, "Well, did you drive yourself up here?" And I said, "Well, sure, I'm in Ted's car." What's the big deal? After a series of tests in Alabama and then one here, they have found a reason for the seizure, and it's not epilepsy. But and I probably ought to tell you this since I've said so often to you that we're all knuckleheads. We're all knuckleheads. Well, I guess I really am. The doctor said they found a rough spot on my brain. And that's what he called it, a rough spot on my brain. And that is the reason for the seizure. And that with medication, it should not reoccur. So that I can drive and exercise. I was disappointed to hear that. Work and go about my normal activities. So I'll just be on medication, I guess, for a good while. But otherwise, if you see me driving, well, don't be worried. My neurologist is not worried. And now I do notice that Nikki keeps a sharp eye on me. By the way, the doctor said I could drive. I may not have anybody ride with me, but I could drive. I think that's all the preliminary. So much for that. This Philippians 1 passage. Let me just read it to you. And by the way, Jeff, I had you on my list also this morning, and I overlooked it as a part of the change. This is Jeff's last Sunday with us before he goes to Harding to begin his schooling. Jeff is one of the many, many people we've had leave 10th and Broad to go into full-time ministry. One of the great signs of health, I believe, of a church is how we reproduce ourselves. And so Jeff is heading out. And of course, Sarah is staying here and teaching. And they hope to join up down the road somewhere and sometime, just as soon as she can get something in Arkansas. We wish Jeff and pray for him Godspeed as he begins his new chapter. I know he's excited. He gave me a list of his courses he's going to be taking. And Jeff, I just hope you're smart enough. That's my only concern. I guess you are. I think you can do it. Philippians 1. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. Well, I just find that passage to be a passage that I would like to borrow. I'm in no way aligning myself with someone like the Apostle Paul. I am not him. I have known the Apostle Paul, and I'm not him. But I just want to borrow his language, his wording, because it just seems appropriate. Because of our experience and a life-changing experience for us. I know life goes on as normal for everybody else. You know, life-changing experiences come on you when you least expect them. You don't look out, 6 months ahead and say, well, I'm going to have a life-changing experience, so I better get ready for it. No, you don't have that luxury. You never will. They come on you instantly when you least expect them. Maybe on vacation, maybe on the third day of your vacation, and you've just been thinking about getting on to the next tourist spot. And here it comes. Well, it's life-changing for us. We'll never be the same. I'm not saying that we'll hobble around forever, but I'm saying that we'll always remember the summer of 2011 for a lot of reasons. As I preach to you, my tongue is getting in the way because apparently I chewed up my tongue with my seizures. And for the first few days in the hospital, I was... Well, it's much better, but I still, every time I speak, I still feel that thing kind of getting in the way. We'll always remember it. We'll always remember it. But, and I know Harry and Mary sitting back there, that's how they feel. And so many of you others have dealt with things that are life-changing. You didn't see them coming, but you just deal with them the best you can. With the help of the Lord. And that's what Paul is talking about. But notice in this text, that great word, that great Christian word, rejoice. I tell you, we're the only ones who can face a major life change in the spirit of rejoicing. You know, as I look back at this experience of ours, totaled our car, and I love that little car. Love to drive it. Just suited Nikki's and my needs very well. Left it totaled in Alabama. On the third day of my vacation. Well, I had all these books laid out in the back seat, all the places we were going to go see. Going to go see the Caffeys. That's where we were headed, to worship with the Caffeys in Tennessee. Well, all these sites we were going to see, Monticello. Ken got to see Monticello. We won't see Monticello. Well, it's yet to be seen by us. And I don't know that we'll have a hankering to try to see it anytime real soon. But even though in many ways it was a lousy experience, on the other hand, as Nikki and I look at it, we could write a book. Now, I realize that probably wouldn't sell many copies and only be of interest to a few of us. But we could write a book in ways that we have seen the Lord work and do great things. I tell you, Romans 8:28 is true. And I don't think if I had it to do over again, if I had a choice, the Lord said, now, here near Birmingham, Alabama, you're going to have a wreck and spend a few days in the hospital. Or you can have a normal vacation. What's your choice? Well, I know what part of me would want to say, well, I want the vacation. Thank you for the choice, but I think I'll just take the vacation. Thank you. But now that I've gone through this experience, I'm not sure I wouldn't say, well, this other has been worth it. I'm glad that God worked for good in our behalf. I think I'll take the other. I'll take the hospital. It'll be worth it in the long term. Because you see what God has done through you and others will work in our minds and hearts for the rest of our lives. We will have long forgotten that vacation. I found vacations only, I can only remember a vacation about 2 or 3 years, and then it gets real foggy on me, and I don't remember them. It's fun while I had it, but it didn't last long. But now I'll never forget things that we've experienced in this. And so in a way, we do rejoice. In a very important way, we rejoice. And if you go through a life-changing experience led by the Lord built up by Him, you'll be the same way. You'll be glad. and you can rejoice. Don't live in fear. Bad things can happen, but the Lord makes them good, and you can rejoice. And Paul mentions your prayers. Oh boy, how that means and has meant so much to us. And you've communicated that to us in so many ways, personally through cards, telephone calls, and visits, and how special that has been. And I just know that it's made all the difference in the world. And we just ask, keep them up, please. Please keep them up. It's very important, the life of prayer. God is not recalcitrant. He's not reluctant. He doesn't need you to coerce Him, to remind Him. Sometimes we think we need to keep badgering God because surely He's forgotten us. He's forgotten to turn on the faucet around here. And He's let it get too hot. Hey, something's going on here. We gotta get together and let's wake God up there. Sometimes I think we have that idea about prayer. Oh no. No, that's not why we pray. No. We pray because when we pray, we learn. We conform to God. His purpose becomes ours. And we start to understand more when we pray about what God is doing. We don't pray to change God. We pray to change us. But also, through prayer, we let God know about gifts we'd sure like to have. And you know what? God is anxious to give them to us. That's what Jesus said. That God is anxious as our Father to give good gifts to His children. But He's got to know what you want. Now sometimes He knows that wouldn't be good for you, so He won't give it to you. But God always has our best interest in mind. Never forget that. And it doesn't take you to pray, it doesn't take you praying to convince Him or to drag Him along. No, He knows your life and He's anxious to do what is in your best interest. Always. Whether you thought to pray that day or not, or whether you fell asleep before you got your prayer prayed or not. No, God always has your best interest in mind. But you pray, so you'll understand God better, and you pray to give God the opportunity to give you good gifts, because He delights in it, just like a parent does. Prayer is important. And then Paul goes on to talk about the help he has received by the Spirit of Jesus Christ that has resulted in his deliverance. Again, I can't prove this, and I can't work it all out theologically. You know, theology is an attempt to understand what in many ways is unknowable. It's a mystery. But we take what little fragments of information we have in the divine revelation of God and try to work it out in a way that we can somehow begin to understand. Well, I don't think God ran me off Interstate 20. I just don't think He did. Now, there would be those who, I guess, the uber Calvinist who would think that. I just can't accept that. But I do believe that the presence of the divine was there near Bessemer, Alabama, as we ran off Interstate 20. And somehow guided that little old Toyota into that grove of trees where we survived this rather horrendous experience Nikki was going through. We were protected. We were guided by God. God is active, and the Spirit of Jesus Christ is a part of our deliverance. So whatever you face, whatever life-changing experience, you will have, and you will have it. So start now getting ready for it, because you won't know it's coming. You'll be on vacation, and there it comes. You'll be ready to go to school. You think you have everything lined out, but there it'll come, that life-changing experience. So right now, you start getting ready for it. You get that communication line with the Lord greased and opened. You get that relationship with others going. You don't live isolated life. No, you need these people. I've needed them. Nikki's needed them. I've needed you. And so when your time comes, you'll need them. The Spirit of Jesus Christ and the prayers of His people. Oh, I just cannot imagine how it would be to live life without those great powers working in our lives. And then Paul talks about his only desire, even though it's a situation he would not have chosen at first. He's in prison. That's his life-changing experience. He doesn't know what the outcome is going to be. But his only desire is that Christ will be exalted in my body. Folks, we can overcomplicate a lot of these things. We can overcomplicate the Christian life. But what we are involved in, Monday through Sunday night, is living that life. Whether it's in good times or bad times, whether it's at work or play, whether it's on vacation or wherever it is, that Christ be exalted in our bodies. Now I know sometimes we get to those forks in the road and we say, well, I wonder what I should do. Wonder which way Christ would have me go here. Well, you know and I know that's baloney. We know there's a game being played here. One of those ways is the way you want to go. That fleshly part of you, that natural part of you. The other is the way of Christ. Now, which way should you go? Well, you go the way where Christ is exalted in your body. You don't do those things. You don't think those thoughts. You don't see those sights. You don't say those words unless Christ is exalted in your body. You don't write on Facebook anything that doesn't exalt Christ in your body. That's pretty simple. Now we make it hard because there's a part of us that pulls us the way the devil wants us to go and is awfully effective at getting us to go. But if our concern is that Christ be exalted in our bodies, we will live our lives in a way that we can rejoice and be delivered. And I love this. Whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ. Christ is going to be exalted in my body. But I tell you, death is gain. You know, it's real tempting to use the cliche after an accident like Nikki and I had, and we survive and largely walk away from it unscathed. See, I'm as good looking as I ever was, aren't I? You'd never know anything was wrong. To say, God is good. God is good. Well, I'm a little reluctant to say that. Because I know there are those who have lost loved ones to death after an accident. Well, is God less good there? Is God not so good there? You know, we tend to prescribe to God what we want to happen. And if it happens that way, we say, God is good. If he has another idea, we may say it, but we don't say it as loud. Or we may not say it at all. Because God doesn't appear to be nearly as good. Because he didn't work it out like I wanted it worked out. But you see, there's a way of looking at this. Nikki and I walked away, and here we are, back in Wichita Falls, Texas, enjoying 110-degree weather. And we could have been in heaven. We could have been. Could have gone together, just like that. Just like the only thing I remember about the emergency room is some old boy with curly hair and round glasses looking down at me. Mr. Suttle, do you know where you are? Do you know what's happened to you? Well, my goodness, I was just driving here a little while ago. Now where am I? You know, that could have been heaven. I could have waked up there. So who's to say who is the most blessed? The loved one who was taken? Or me who was left? Who's to say? Who's to say who is the most blessed? The one who dies at 25? Or the one who has to live till 98? Which is better? Well, you don't know that, do you? God is good, regardless. And my surviving is no indication that God is good. God is just good, period. Regardless how it came out. Paul says, if I stay, oh, it'll be a good thing. I enjoy the folks, just like I enjoy you. I'm glad to be with you. And I hope, like Paul, that we'll have fruitful labor together. Because there's a part of that that's very energizing. But, you know, to die is gain. Heaven's far better, and it is. I don't remember at all of all the feelings I had feeling fearful. Now, part of that might have been I was so drugged up I couldn't feel anything. But it never crossed my mind that there was anything to be afraid of. I think you'll find that too. If you go through an experience like this, or any trying experience, you'll find that the Spirit of the Lord and the prayers of people are with you. And that you'll walk through that door, whatever that door is, triumphantly and in a state of rejoicing. Paul says, I think I'm going to stay. I don't know which I'd choose, but I think I'll likely stay. And I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. You know, those two things are what we're working for, aren't we? Here at 10th and Broad, nothing's changed. We're just like Philippi. We hope we're making progress, and I hope I can contribute to that. As the preacher, as I work along with you, I hope I can help us move forward, make progress, and that I will contribute in some small way to joy in the faith. You know, if you're a Christian and don't have joy, something's wrong. If we're not enjoying our walk with God because of legalistic traditions or because of burdens we place on ourselves, what a shame that is. Two things are very valuable as you are a part of this body, that you make progress in Christ and that you experience joy. And Paul's last comment in verse 26. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. And you know what? I say that very forcefully this morning. I hope that my survival and Nikki's survival and being back with you gives you joy. I hope that we can help you as you have helped us and continue to help us be God's people who experience the joy of the Lord. Do you know, as a Christian, we're the only species on the face of the earth. Now think about this. We're the only people on the face of the earth who can say along with Paul, either way will be good. Well, that's how I feel. But I'm glad I'm back as we work together for the Lord. And again, thank you for all of the ways you've shown your love for us. We feel very loved and very affirmed. And all in all, it's been a very rich experience for us. Now, I warn you about this. As a preacher, I'm always looking for sermon topics. And I have a few. And so I don't want to dwell on this, but there are thoughts that have been provoked within me, and so I'm sure in the weeks ahead I'll have some occasion to make use of that. So overlook that as I have learned, and maybe we can all learn together some great spiritual principles from God's Word. Good to be back with you, and you really do look awful good to me. God bless you.